राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा डियर डिवोटीज अंडर वीआईएचई डूइंग भक्ति वेदांत यू आर ऑल फॉर्चुनेट सोल्स इन ए दामोदर कार्तिक मंथ स्टडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड नाउ टुडे वी आर स्टार्टिंग नाइन्थ कैंटो द 14th चैप्टर इन विच वी विल discuss the moon dynasty. So there are two Kshatriya, royal orders, two dynasties in a ninth canto, the solar dynasty and lunar dynasty. So these two dynasties, or this whole ninth chapter, the major subject matter is Ishanu Katha. Ish means Supreme Lord, because there is an incarnation of Lord Ramachandra in the first portion of this, which you have discussed, and then there is the incarnation of Lord Krishna, and also tomorrow we will discuss the incarnation of Parushuram. So these are Ish means Supreme Lord, and Anu means follower, the devotees. In these dynasties, in all the descendant of these sun and moon, all are Bhagavat, all are highly exalted devotees actually. And we should remember now, from now, as we have discussed in, as we have already heard in Nectar of Devotion, there are great personalities, and if we see some fault in them, it should be considered like a black spot on the moon, because they are so powerful that will not hinder or cover their devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also warned that we should not find fault in exalted personalities who are authorized and empowered by a Supreme Lord. So there are some things which are very, very not easily to understand in these past times. But we have to accept this as the Acharyas has commented and given us, as Srila Prabhupada has given us. So there is a summary of this 14th chapter, which we all will read together. This chapter describes Soma, which means moon god, and how he kidnapped the wife of Brihaspati, which is actually the priest or the acharya for the demigods, Brihaspati. And they are all stars actually. These are all stars. So this is a star. Moon is a star and Brihaspati is also a star. And then he begot a son. Buddha is another star. Jupiter, I think Buddha is called Jupiter, right? Brihaspati is Jupiter.
Mercury, I guess, Mercury.
Yeah, Brihaspati is Jupiter.
Venus.
And Buddha is Mercury, Mercury. How Buddha, Mercury, was born from moon, in Tara, the wife of Guru Brihaspati, Jupiter. So this is what Chakravarti Pad writes. So what we are getting now is, so these are the English name for them. Brihaspati is Jupiter and Buddha is Mercury. And then Buddha, and I think you have discussed this Buddha in our first son of Vaivasvat Manu, and that was boy, and he went, well, he was a girl, Illa, and then Brihaspati made him boy, Sadamanyu, and on a horse he went to the Illavart Varsh, where the Lord Shiva and Parvati reside. And because of the curse, he became a girl. So that girl here name is Illa. And Buddha had a marriage with this girl that is called Gandharva marriage. It is called love marriage. And they got a son called Pururva. So this Pururva is a son from a change, sex change girl in a, because of Lord Shiva's and Parvati's abode. Varsha, in Jambudeep, you know Jambudeep has 9 varsha and the middle one center is Ilavart varsha where Lord Shankar and Parvati live and they worship Shankarshan. And no male is there. So any male comes there, he becomes female because there is a curse like that. So this Illa, then Braspati, then the priest of this solar dynasty, Vasishtha Maharaj, got his boy back, but he was girl, 1 month boy, 1 month girl. So that girl, when he becomes girl there, met Buddha. And the Pururva was born. And Pururva is going to start the lunar dynasty. Is it okay? Is it all right? Now, Pururva married a celestial apsara, Urvasi. By now you know, Urvasi is not ordinary heavenly society girl, no. Urvasi was produced by Nar Narayan Rishi, Supreme Lord himself in Badrika Ashram, from his own limb. And he gave this as a gift to Cupid, who came to disturb him, to disturb his austerities. And Cupid was sent by Indra. So this girl is Urvasi is directly produced from the transcendental body of Nar Narayan, Rishi. And she is meant to be the, she is meant to give the dynasty in which Lord Krishna is to, has to appear. So this is not an ordinary heavenly apsara or the angel. No. She was from Nar Narayan's body. They gave a gift for the Indra. So Urvasi is not ordinary heavenly apsara. Now then there is a history, the Brahma. We all know Brahma is born from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And Brahma has a son Atri. One of the rishis is Atri Rishi. You know Atri, means no, three means three modes of material nature. One who is free from three modes of material nature. It means transcendental person. And he has his wife, Anusuya. You know Anusuya? Suya means envy. And Anu means no, non-envious. She was non-envious. And when such persons are there, beyond three modes and non-envious, Supreme Lord appears there. So in fourth canto, if you remember, Atri and Anusuya, they got Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh as their son. From portion of Brahma came moon. From portion of Rudra or Shankar came Dattatreya. And from portion of the Vishnu, from the portion of the moon came the Brahma moon. Moon is Brahma. Shankar, Durvasa, Vishnu, Dattatreya. So these are three all presiding Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, Guna Avatar, the incarnation of mode of material nature, they are actually the creator, maintainer and annihilator of this universe. They become by their portion, they become their son. So they are very exalted personalities. So the Atri has a son called Soma, one son. Here we are discussing one son or Soma. Soma means moon. The king of all drugs, he is called Oshadi Raja. Raja means king and Oshadi means all the herbs, all herbs and plantation. He is the king and he is also king of the Brahmanas. He is also the king of Brahmanas, king of all drugs and stars. Som become the conqueror of the entire universe and being inflated with pride. Now because still they are in material world, they are demigods, they are in material world. So all those things which are in our material world, they are also there. So he become proud, like Indra become proud. In a pastime of Govardhan, just we have few days back. So Indra also become proud. So moon become proud. And he kidnapped the Tara, who was the wife of Braspati. And he is the priest of the demigods. So, the spiritual master of the demigods. A great fight ensued between the demigods and the Asuras. But Brahma rescued Braspati's wife from clutches of the Soma. So Brahma, the grandfather, he did the mediation somehow and negotiated things. And he got the Tara back and returned to the husband, Braspati, and fighting was stopped. But by that time, Tara was already pregnant and she has a son, Buddha. Now, Buddha later got a son called Illa from Aila. The son, Illa's son is called Aila, and the another name is Pururva. Now, the next, Urvasi was captivated by Purvara's beauty, and therefore she lived with him for some time. And but when she left his company, he became almost like madman. While traveling all over the world, he met Urvasi again at Kurukshetra. But she agreed to join with him for only one night in a year. So for 6 years they met and he got 6 sons. 1 year later, Purva saw Urvasi at Kurukshetra and he was glad. And then in this way they got 6 sons. But Purudva was very much attached to her, that he was overwhelmed by grief. Urvasi then advised Purudva to worship Gandharva, because they can give him Urvasi. But actually Purudva satisfied Gandharva by his worship, but they gave him some, actually it's written here, woman. Chakravarti Pad said they gave him something for performing yajna. He understood that it is a woman called Agni Sthali. Pururva mistook Agni Sthali as a Urvasi because he was completely mad for Urvasi, so he thought she is Urvasi. But Agni Sthali was nothing but something to perform yajna. But he was wandering in the forest, his misunderstanding was cleared. And he immediately gave up her company. After returning home, meditating upon Urvasi all night, he wanted to perform a Vedic ritual. By that time, Treta Yuga started. So yajna starts. Thereafter, he went to the same place where he left the Agni Sthali, which was actually to perform yajna. And there he found Sami tree. Sami tree is a very special tree, which is the wood of that is used to ignite the fire without matchstick. And this Sami tree, it is in Rajasthan, very popular tree in Rajasthan, Sami tree. And Arjuna was hiding his celestial weapon when they were in incognito in a sami tree somewhere. So sami tree is a very, very auspicious tree, particularly for the purpose of igniting fire by the two woods called Arani. So sami tree and the Ashwatha tree. So they were combined together, like in Vrindavan Parikrama, we go there, we see the two trees, which is called Krishna Balaram tree. You remember this place in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram tree? So there also one tree is coming out of the womb of the other tree. It's like in a modern day what they call all these fruits and everything now is hybrid, something hybrid. The two things are together. So then what?
Genetic modified.
But this is something too.
Hybrid.
Okay, hybrid, right. Hybrid, that's what I'm saying. So, thereafter, Sami tree and Ashwatha tree. Purva made the two sticks from this tree, means Sami tree, and thus produce a fire. By such fire, one can satisfy all lusty desire. The fire was considered the son of Ororva, Purorva. So the two stick, one is a lower stick, which he considered Urvasi, and the upper stick, which he was rubbing to ignite the fire, he considered it himself, and between the two, fire as his son. With this, we will come to the verses, all this is there. By such a fire, one can. The fire was considered the son of Purorva. In Satya Yuga, now it was Satya Yuga was over, but in Satya Yuga there was only one social division that is called Hansa. Hansa means swan. Swan means completely perfect, like Paramahansa. There was no division of the Varna like Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The Vedas was Omkar, there is only one Veda. And the various demigods were not worshipped, for only the Supreme Personality of Godhead was worshipable deity. So here ends our summary by Srila Prabhupada. Now we are starting the first verse. Sukhdev Goswami.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Hare Krishna Vajikama.
Yes.
Will you describe the subject of this nine canto is Ishanukatna.
Right.
So, but we see nine canto, we have so many stories of personalities who are hankering after lusty desires and they become disgusted and they renounce all the material world and engage in devotional service. But we don't see so much their glorification of the Lord. They are Pururva, Sobri Muni, and their personalities who are after lusty desires and they get disgusted with it. So how do we understand this theme is actually Ishanukatnam? And second question, Praji, this song I have read in Bhagavatam is the, I think, presiding deity of mind. So how does it affect
the mind? Presiding deity of the mind also, this what is called subtle body has a four portion in sixth. I think this is in a fourth canto where we are discussing this Puranjana. In this there is a subtle body which has four part and each part has a Aniruddha, Pradyumna, they are the presiding deities of each part of this our subtle body. So moon is presiding for the mind is also there. Yes, mind, Oshadis, he has many other functions also. So what you are saying, Ishanukatha, Supreme Lord and this is the one theme of this ninth canto is Ishanukatha. The second most important message in the whole ninth canto is so exalted personalities. They were the rulers of this planet, but where are they now? So one must learn detachment from the material world. This is the message, a hidden message in the ninth canto. So powerful king, like Bhagirath brought the mother Ganga on the earth. the Ambarish, for whom the disk of the Lord was there as to protect. And there are so many powerful other kings, and also there is a Ramchandra is only described in 3 chapters, and because Sukadeva Goswami said, since you know the whole detail of Ramayana, so we are making it very nutshell. But there are generally the most of the, in all the cantos there is description of the devotees, and we have all these 24 incarnations which are in the second and first and second canto. They are all described in different cantos. So Isha is there and Anu is there. But in this particularly there is a genealogy of the 2 dynasties of the Kshatriyas, which are the rulers. And you have, yes, I think maybe yesterday you have must have done this, say, Kalpa, the one person, Maru, he is still in a meditation and will start this solar dynasty. He's in a meditation. So I think have you ever been to the Mount Abu? Well, this is a one hill station in Rajasthan, where we go down, there is a Vashishta ashram, because the Kshatriyas were not there, so they did yagya there, and they wanted the ruling generation again, because without the ruler, there will be no rule or the law and order. So we need Kshatriya in any case. So these are the Kshatriya dynasty, which are the rulers, and most of them are Rajrishis. So they are not ordinary people. But this was the time like Satyuga, their age was thousands of years. So definitely they were enjoying, but then they were giving up everything. Then they were doing pure devotional service or meditation, whatever the process of that particular age. So 2 things we have to learn from them. They are great devotees, and also person may be so much opulent and exalted, but after all, material world, everything will finish. All these are names in the history now. So better, because they have done some good thing, particularly devotion, therefore they are still included in Bhagavatam, which is Pranam Amalam. Amala means pure. Mala means dirty thing. There's nothing dirty thing here. Everything is pure. So it's very, therefore in the beginning I said may not be able to understand. There are certain things which appears like us in this world doing the same thing. But they have a higher purpose. Like you all know this Satyavati and Parasar Rishi, they met in an island and the Vyasadeva is born. It appears Parasar was lusty, and he saw the Satyavati as a Matsya Gandha, a fishy, smelly girl of the fisherman. But the purpose was, there's a need of Vyasadeva to explain the Vedas for the coming Kali Yuga. So it is not they are attached to them for forever. They gave up all this in due course of time. But there was some very sacred purpose behind all these things, which is not understandable for us with our consciousness. But somehow all the acharya have commented on these verses, and they never said anything about that. So therefore, Mahajan Yena Gatasya Pantha, we have to follow the footstep of the previous acharyas. Whatever they have given us insight, we should accept it. That's it. Hare Krishna, is it okay?
Praji, regarding Som, is a presiding deity of mind. We have heard Anirudh also presiding deity of mind.
Mind is somatva. Mind, there's a somatva means very peaceful mind, because som is very peaceful. Somaya, the word is somaya, because sital. Sital means very cooling. But Aniruddha is a deity, is Aniruddha, presiding deity as per Bhagavatam in Aniruddha. That's right. Mind is a, there is a something about moon and mind. There is something about that. But exactly if you quote the verse, then we can discuss this. But I remember these four parts of the subtle body and the four presiding deity for these. Like Sankarsana for ego, and similarly Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and all day for the rest, intelligence and polluted consciousness and mind. So now you just hear one word in the first line. Once somasya pavanaha. Pavanaha means, pavan means, you see the word, which is purifying to hear about. Now what is in this one? So you will see this, the moon god kidnapped the wife of Brahaspati, but still it is purifying. How is that? So this is called something very subtle. Prabhupada used to call sublime. The process is so sublime that it purifies us. How it purifies us? That we have to see. Now, this first verse, Sukhdev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit to Maharaj Parikshit, O king, thus far you have heard the description of dynasty of sun god. Now here, the most glorious purifying description of dynasty of moon god. What is in this purifying and glorious? Krishna. Krishna is appearing in this dynasty. He is glorifying and he is purifying. This is the dynasty of Krishna. So Krishna is appearing in this dynasty. Therefore, this dynasty is glorifying and purifying. Krishna is Chandravansi. Chandra means moon. This description mentioned king like Aila, which means Purarva. I mean, Purarva is a forefather of Krishna in one sense, of whom it is glorious to hear. It is glorious to hear about Purarva, who was enchanted by Urvasi. But how he was detached also. In this world, people are attached and they are never detached till die. But here is the person who attached, he gave the birth to a glorious son who have a dynasty continuous and the two incarnation appearing in that, and then he left everything and just become a mendicant. So, next verse. Next verse is starting the history of the moon dynasty. Sahasrasrasha Puncho. This is actually Purusha Sukta. Verse is like Purusha Sukta. Sahasra Shursha. Sahasra means 1000. Shursha means head. Puncho. Puncho means person. So this is a Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Nabhi Hardha Saroruhat. From the navel of them, that a lotus stem came, and on the top there was lotus flower. Jatasyasita suto dhator, and the sun was born. That is Brahma, dhata, vidhata, the creator. Atrihi pitra, and then he has a son Atri. Somoho gunahi, and Atri has a son Soma, or the moon. And Gunahi, Gunahi means very qualified. What is his qualification? So this is the history from the Vishnu, Brahma, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Brahma, Atri, and then Som. And now, Tasya Dirghbhayo. This Dirghbhayo word is important. Dirghbhayo means from jubilant tears of the ecstasy. from the tears of jubilation. Dirghabhaya Bhavata Putra Somo. How the moon god was born? By the tears. Now can you see this is possible in the human? No. The Soma was born from the tears of Brahma. Tasya of his Atri, the son of Brahma. Son of Atri, from the tears of Atri, the Soma was born. From the Atri's tears of jubilation was born a son named Soma, the moon, who was full of soothing rays. Full of soothing rays. It says, Amritmaya. Amritmaya. Somaha Amritmaya. Amrit means nectar. Maya means just full of nectar. Soothing rays. Lord Brahma appointed him the director of Brahmins. Director of Brahmins. Drugs, which means Oshadi. And luminaries. That means the different stars. Nakshtranam Aham Sashi. In Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, Krishna says, I am the moon among the stars. So moon is Lord Krishna's opulence. Is it okay? Now Srila Prabhupada gives a little commentary to this verse. According to the Vedic description, it means Veda, there is a mantra. Chandrama manaso jata. This word manaso jata. Somebody was saying about man, mind. Chandrama manaso jata. Jata means born. Chandrama means moon. And manaso means from mind. He was born from the mind of personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic description, Som, the moon god, was born from the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chandrama manaso jata. This is the Vedic hymn. If sometime you see some priest, they sing this hymn. So, but here we find the Som was born from the tears of the eyes of the Yatri. This appears contradictory to the Vedic information. But actually it is not. For, why? This birth of moon is understood to have taken place in another millennium. You know this is called Kalpabhed? You know the word Kalpabhed? Kalpa means day of Brahma. And Bhed means difference. Like in our Bhagavatam, in Mahabharata, there are difference in these stories and the time. And that is because of the one story is in one day of Brahma, other stories in the other day of Brahma. It's called Kalpa Bheda. Kalpa Bheda. Kalpa means day of Brahma. Prabhupada died millennium. And Bheda means difference. Like we know Krishna is appearing in one day of Brahma. Regularly. Krishna is appearing regularly in one day of Brahma. So one day of Brahma, he has some pastime at some place, and the next day he has some pastime in next place. There may be a difference. So our Acharya says, if you see the difference between the scriptural description of the same thing, then only reconciled by Kalpabhed, different day of Brahma, different millennium. Is it okay? Now, when the tears appear in the eyes because of jubilation, the tears were soothing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Dirghabhayo ananda ashrubhya ata eva amritmayah. Here the word dirghabhya means from the tears of jubilation. Therefore, the moon god is called Amritmaya. Amritmaya means full of nectar, and in Prabhupada says in some other places, in a moon planet there are lakes of nectar. There are ponds of nectar, reservoir of nectar there, Amritmaya. Full of soothing rays. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find this verse. And this verse is about the birth of the Atri. Atri has his children. Atreha patni anusuyaha trinaha jane jnane sushasyaha shutan. Sushasyasutan dattam. Dattam means datatriya. Durvasam durvasa somam the moon. Ha. Atensha brahma sambhavan. This verse describes the Anusuya, the wife of Atri, born three sons, Soma, Durvasa and Dattatriya. It said that at the time of conception of Anusuya was impregnated by tears of Atri. This is another mystery. How can the tear impregnate? So this is just a mercy of the Lord which manifests anyway. Now verse number 4. Now about the moon god, because the main object is moon god, because this dynasty is coming from moon. Now after conquering the three world, upper, middle and lower planetary system, Soma, the moon god, performed a great sacrifice known as Rajasuya Yajna. This is for Kshatriyas. Kshatri performed the Yajna called Rajasuya. Because he was very much puffed up, he forcibly kidnapped Braspati's wife, whose name was Tara. So yajanta rajasuyaha vijitta bhuvantriyam patnim braspatir darpata taram namah. The word is darpa. Darpa means out of, puffed up, Prabhupada said. Because of his arrogance, darpa. You know what is darpa word come from? You have seen this mirror, which everybody is seeing his face in a mirror. In Sanskrit is called darpan. You know, mirror is called darpan. When everybody sees his face in a mirror, he think I am the beautiful. So he will get darpa. By seeing in a mirror, we see think I am the most beautiful. So the word darpa come from here. So darpa means puffed up because of his power, beauty or something. And by force he has kidnapped, balad. Balad means by force. What happened after that? Although requested again and again by Braspati. Braspati was saying, please give me my wife back. The spiritual master of demigod. And Soma is a demigod. So he is his spiritual master. Soma did not return Tara. This was due to his false pride. Reason Prabhupada is giving in the verse. Why did not return? Yachito abhikshanaho madat na there. Madat, because of his arrogance. He did not give. And he did not give because of his arrogance, because of his false pride. What is the result? In this world, the war always is because of three things. Either land, or wealth, or woman. Woman, wealth, and land. These are the three reasons for all the wars in the world. So here, because of the woman, there is a war. Because of Tara. There is a fight ensued between the demigods and demons. Now, who is demon here? No demon is here. But what happened? I said, demon and demigods, they are brothers actually. You know, Kashyap has two wives of the many. One is Aditi and one is Diti. The Diti's children are Daitya, are demons, and Aditi's children are demigods. So they are brothers. They know what is going on in each camp. So when they heard all this, they took the advantage. Actually, how it happened? Who made all this? Shukra Braspati Dveshad, the priest of the demons, Shukracharya, who is also one of the opulence of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Anybody can remember this verse? Kavyo Ushnam Kavinam Ushna Kavihi, 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Kavinam Ushna Kavihi, out of the all wise men, my opulence is Shukracharya. Ushna is Shukracharya. And Brahaspati is also, Shukar is also one of these stars. What is the name of the Shukar in English? Venus?
Venus.
Yeah, Venus. So they are all stars, no? They influence our life. They are not ordinary. They influence our life. A whole astrology is based on these stars and their influence on our life. So Shukra, Brahaspati, Dvesha, they were both enemy. They have enmity between the two. So therefore, what happened because of their enmity? Because of enmity between the Brahaspati and Shukra, Shukra took the side of moon. Because Brahaspati is a spiritual master, so demigods on the side of, they took the side of Brahaspati. So moon, he got the help from Shukracharya. And was joined by demons. And because Shukracharya asked his disciples to join moon, so they came. But Lord Shiva, because of his affection for the son of his spiritual master, joined side of Brahaspati. Brahaspati has a son called Angira. Brahaspati's son's name is Angira. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on this verse. Shukar sided the moon along with demon. The sandhi is poetia. Shiva obtained knowledge from Angira, the son of Brahaspati, according to Sridhar Swami. So Sridhar Swami commented here why Shankar, a Lord Shiva, took the side of Brahaspati. Because his son Angira gave knowledge to Lord Shiva. And then Shankar also took his ghost and hobgoblins. So there's a little purport here. The moon god is one of the demigods. But to fight against the other demigod, he took the assistant of demons. Shukar, being an enemy of Brahaspati, also joined the moon god to retaliate wrath against Brahaspati. To counter this situation, Lord Shiva, who was affectionate towards Brahaspati, joined Brahaspati. The father of Brahaspati was Angira. The father of Brahaspati was Angira. So Brahaspati is Angira's son, from whom Lord Shiva received knowledge. Therefore, Lord Shiva had some affection for Brahaspati and he joined his side in this fight. Sridhar Swami remarks, Angirasa saka shat prapta vidho vidyoho har itihi prasiddha. Lord Shiva is well known to have received knowledge from Angira. Angira is one of the sages who are born directly of the Brahma, I think, Angira. Now, verse number 7. King Indra, accompanied by all kinds of demigods, joined the side of Brahaspati. Thus, there was a great fight, destroying both demons and demigods, only for the sake of Tara, Brahaspati's wife. So, always war is because of the three things, remember. Zan, Zar, Zameen. Zan, Zar, Zameen. Zan means woman, Zar means wealth, Zameen means land. They are the cause of fight in this world. When Lord Brahma was fully informed by Angira, so Brahaspati's father went to the Brahma. Brahma is his father, I am sure. He said, my dear father, there is a problem. The brothers are fighting. He told about the entire incident, why they are fighting because of Tara. He severely chastised moon god Soma. So Brahma chastised Soma. Thus Lord Brahma delivered Tara to her husband And he said, give back. And moon obliged. Who could then understand that she was pregnant? By that time she was pregnant. So Brahma actually reconciled this situation and fight was over and Tara was recovered from the moon after chastisement. So see here, there's no court case, there's nothing, only Brahma came and all the problem was solved in no time. So there was also some hierarchy there. The Brahma say and everybody has to agree. And they agreed. Now what is the next? The next is Brihaspati. Now when he got Tara, then he immediately noticed that she is pregnant. So he said, you foolish woman, your womb which was meant for me to impregnate has been impregnated by someone other than me. Immediately deliver your child. Immediately deliver it. Be assured that after the child is delivered, I will not burn you to ashes. I know that although you are unchaste, you wanted a son. Therefore, I shall not punish you. Srila Prabhupada has a small purport. Tara was married to Brihaspati and therefore, as a chaste woman, she should have been impregnated by him. But instead, she preferred to be impregnated by Soma. She preferred. Actually, Soma abducted her by force. But Prabhupada said she was willing. It means she preferred to be impregnated by Soma. Why? What is the reason? Only we know after what the reason is. We needed the Buddha, a Buddha, son from moon, to because his dynasty should come, not the, and Tara should be the instrument for that. And what is the purpose behind this? It's not understandable by ordinary logic. But instead, the moon god, and therefore she was unchaste. Although Brihaspati respected Tara from, accepted Tara from Brahma. When he saw that she was pregnant, he wanted her to deliver a son immediately. This is also not in the hand of a woman. But this is not ordinary human being affair. This is a demigod level things. Within 1 minute it can be done. Yes, it is possible. So, Tara certainly very much feared her husband. And she thought she might be punished after giving birth. Thus, Brihaspati assured her that he would not punish her. For although she was unchaste and had become pregnant illicitly, she wanted a son. Now her desire to have a son from moon was respected by Brihaspati. He said, I will not burn you. It means these all are not ordinary people. He was knowing that this is the dynasty which is going to, in the future, the Purava and Urvarsi and then Yayati and then in this dynasty Krishna will come. So this is something which is not possible for us to really, we cannot accept like this, things like this in this world. But this is here, verse number 10 says, Sukhdev Goswami continued, by Brihaspati's order, Tara was very much ashamed. So she regretted. Immediately gave birth to the child, so she had so power. She gave birth immediately to the child. In 7th canto, you must have discussed this. Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadu, and Brahma and Narad told, you can only give birth when you like. You can keep her in the womb. Only your husband come, then you give the birth. So this was not ordinary humanly stories. These are the stories of the higher planetary system. So Tara gave birth immediately to the child, who was very beautiful, with a golden bodily hue. Both Brihaspati and moon god, Soma, desired the beautiful child. Now, Brihaspati wanted, I need this son, and Soma said, give my son, give me. Now who will decide? Fighting again broke out between the Brihaspati and moon god, both of whom were whom claimed the sun. It's not interesting. This is my child, not yours. All saints and demigods present, they all, and it was between, it was in the assembly of the demigods and saint. The saint means the Saptarishi. Always, by now, I think, no, you have done 8th canto, Manvantar. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, and in each day of Manu, there's a one incarnation called Manvantar incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He select one Indra, one person who is qualified and has done the 100 Ashwamedh Yajna. He is called Sakar. Sakar means 100 Kartu. Kartu means Yajna. One who has performed 100 Ashwamedh Yajna. He is qualified to be Indra. So like MBA, qualification for business administration. So anybody want to be Indra, he has to perform 100 Ashwamedh Yajna. Then he has a qualification. He may be selected by the god or not, but you know, Bali Maharaj has done 99 and 100 was in the process. And then now next Manvantar, the next day of Brahma, Bali Maharaj is going to be Indra. So Indra is the name of the post. Person changes. 14 times in a day of Brahma, Indra changes. Different Indra comes. Now is a Purandar, somebody is as Indra. So this discussion between the Brihaspati and moon god was going among the saint and demigods. So Tara, whose child, the newborn baby actually was, but because she was ashamed, she could not immediately answer. So this is common, Prabhupada's always one argument. If you want to know who is your father, go to the mother. So only Tara can tell who is the father of the child. But she cannot say among all the people. After all, a lady cannot say like that. So Brahma has now to take her on one side and ask her in a seculation. So which is compared to the mother for Prabhupada's argument? Scripture is mother. Shastra is mother. Revealed scripture is mother. Father, they can tell us who is God. Similarly, mother will tell who is the father of the boy. Similarly, for us, who is God, only scripture can tell. Now, next verse says, the child then become very angry. Now, child become angry. It means child was born and he still become angry, means he was also grown up and with the intelligent. His child was just born, but he became angry. And he demanded that his mother immediately tell the truth. You unchaste woman, he said, what is the use of your unnecessary shame? Why do you not admit your fault? Immediately tell me about your faulty behavior. Son is asking from the mother. How much time it took to give birth to the son, and then son was asking this question from the mother. Why you are just hiding this? But Brahma, intelligent, Brahma then brought Tara to a secluded place, and after pacifying her, he asked to whom the child actually belonged. And she replied very slowly, this is son of Soma, the moon god. Then the moon god immediately took the charge of the child. So this fight over here. Now verse 14, Maharaj Parikshat. Oh Maharaj Parikshat. Who is the listener? The emperor of the planet, Maharaj Parikshat. And who is the speaker? Sukhdev Goswami. And what topic they are discussing, we are not able to relate to it. But they were relishing it. When Brahma saw that the child was deeply intelligent, he gave the name. who gave the name to the child? Brahma. He gave the child name Buddha. Buddha means intelligent, enlightened. Actually, Buddha means enlightened. The moon god, the ruler of this star, enjoyed great jubilation because of this son. Now, up till now, we have reached from the Brahma, Atri, moon to the Buddha in dynasty. Now, after Buddha, the new dynasty we are starting. Thereafter, from Buddha, through the womb of Illa. Illa, I just told you, this is the son of Som dynasty, of the solar dynasty, first son of Vivaswat Manu and his wife. He was born as a girl. He was made boy. You know him, Sadyamanyu? You remember this name, Sadyamanyu? Yeah? He went to the Illavarth Varsha and became a girl. And his name was Illa. At that time, Buddha met him. A son was born named Pururva. So he, where the Pururva was born? Somewhere in Illavarth Varsha. Who was described in the beginning of the 9th canto? Now you remember 9th canto beginning, first chapter. This is Sadyamanyu, the first son of Vivaswat Manu. This Manu, which is the ruler of the 7th Manvantar. When his beauty Pururva's beauty, personal qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth and power were described by Narad in the court of Indra. So now what happens? Devarishi Narada, he was arranging for Pururva to meet Urvasi. Pururva, what happened? Why Urvasi came from a heavenly planet down? She was cursed by the two demigods. And why Pururva was so much attached to Urvasi? There are some stories behind this also. Curse and counter-curse. So when Pururva's beauty, personal qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth and power were described by Narada in the court of Indra. So Narada was in heaven speaking about Pururva, a king on the earth. The celestial woman Urvasi was attracted to him. Pierced by the arrow of Cupid, she thus approached him. So who came? Urvasi came to Pururva. There's no purpose Srila Prabhupada has given to this. Why Urvasi left the heavenly planet? And next verse says, having been cursed by Mitra and Varuna. I think 2 days back or yesterday you must have heard these two names, Mitra and Varuna. And their semen was kept in a pot. And Vasishtha was born from that in Nimi Maharaj's pastime. You remember this? Yesterday, I think, Nimi Maharaj, right? So this is Mitra and Varuna. They were enchanted by Urvasi and they lost their energy and that was kept. And Vasishtha were born from that. Can you see? How can this all happen? So Vasishtha was born from enchanting of the two demigods Mitra and Varuna by Urvasi, and that energy was kept in a pot, and the Vasishtha was born. So, having been cursed by Mitra and Varuna, the celestial woman Urvasi had acquired the habit of a human being. They said, "You go, you are not fit to be in a heavenly planet, go in a human." go to the words of the humans. Therefore, upon seeing Purva, the best of the male, she whose beauty resembled that of a cupid, she controlled herself and then approached him. I heard another story also that Purva once went to the heavenly planet and he paid obeisance to everybody. But to Kamdev, he ignored. He said, well, this is lusty person going to give trouble to everybody. So Kamdev said, anyway, now you have to suffer my arrows. So he was also now to be pierced by arrows of the Urvasi. So when King Purva saw Urvasi, his eyes become jubilant in ecstasy of joy, and hair on his body stood on end. He has a bhav bhakti? Ashtasatvak bhav? No. He was in another type of ecstasy. With mild pleasing words, he spoke to her as follows. Now she approached, but the first speaking is by Purarva. King Purarva said, O most beautiful woman, you are welcome. Please sit here and tell me what I can do for you. You may enjoy with me as long as you desire. Let us pass our life happily in our relationship. So this is the proposal of Purarva. But what is Urvasi saying now? Urvasi, the most handsome, Urvasi replied, O most handsome man, who is the woman whose mind and sight would not be attracted by you? If a woman takes shelter of your chest, she cannot refuse to enjoy with you in sexual relationship. So Urvasi said this thing to the Purarva. Prabhupada writes, this is something we can have to understand a principle from here. When a beautiful man and beautiful woman unite together and embrace one another, how within these three worlds can they check their sexual relationship? Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Yaname thuna digrahame disukkam itucham. Anybody can translate this one line? Prabhupada has not given anything here. Yana maithun adi graha medhi sukham hi tucham. Sukham means happiness. Tucham means useless, insignificant. Graha medhi means those who are only interested in a family life. Maithun adi means meeting of the male and female. It's useless. So this is one of the principles we can learn from this chapter. And therefore we should remember from other part of Bhagavatam that young man and woman should never be alone. May they be father and daughter, brother and sister, mother and son. You know this version of the Shastra? Have you heard this? Mother and son, young mother and son, sister and brother, father and daughter should never be in secluded place, because this is compared in other Vedic literature as a fire and a butter. If you keep the butter near to the fire, the butter will definitely melt. So this is one principle. I think you have this question that you have to draw a principle from the Purarva and Urvasi's episode. So this is one of the principle that meeting of the two young men and women, and particularly in secluded place, then they cannot resist. And then the verse Prabhupada quoted from 7.9.49, you have already done. Yanmayatuna adi grahme adi sukham hi tucham. Though it is insignificant, but still people are so much attracted by that and moved by that. Now Urvasi is saying something. My dear King Purarva, please give protection to these two lambs. What she brought from there, two lambs, sheep, baby sheep, who have fallen down with me. She brought the two with her. Although I belong to the heavenly planet and you belong to earth, I shall certainly enjoy sexual union with you. I have no objection to accepting you as my husband, for you are superior in every respect. So give protection is one. She has three. She wanted Pururva to give three promises before she can accept him as a husband. One is to give protection to the two lamb, and two more we will read soon. As stated in Brahma Santa, Yasya Prabha Prabhado Jaganda Koti Koti Shvasesha Vishudhati Vibhuti Vinnam. There are various planets and various atmospheres within this universe. The atmosphere of the heavenly planet from which Urvashi descended after being cursed by Mitra and Varuna was different from the atmosphere of this earth. Indeed, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets are certainly far superior to the inhabitants of the earth. Nonetheless, Urvashi agreed to remain consort of Pururva, although she belonged to a superior community. A woman who finds a man with a superior quality may accept such a man as her husband. Similarly, if a man finds a woman who is from an inferior family but who has good qualities, he can accept such a brilliant wife. As advised by Chanakya Pandit, Istri Ratnam Dushkuladapi. So Srila Prabhupada is just giving the social codes by the Chanakya Pandit. If you find your jam in a muddy place, you can take it. Even in a stool, there is a jam you have to take. Similarly, if the girl born in some family which is not high class, but she is very well behaved and character, she can be accepted. The combination of the male and female is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on the equal level. So Srila Prabhupada is giving some social background about this type of marriage. Urvashi said, "My dear hero, only preparation made in ghee will be my eatable." It means next promise. First promise to protect my lambs. Second promise, I will eat only clarified butter. It means the people living in heaven, they have no refined oil. They have pure butter and pure ghee. And our forefathers were also very highly like a demigod. They always had a ghee, but now ghee is no more there. So she said only ghee there. And promise number three. Why these promises are there? Because Urvashi has to go back. Promise number three. I shall not want to see you naked at any time except at the time of meeting. The great-minded King Pururva accepted these proposals. So three promises. If the king break the promise, then she will leave. And then what happened? Pururva replied, "Oh beautiful one, your beauty is wonderful and your gestures are also wonderful. Indeed, you are attractive to all human society. Therefore, since you have come to your own accord from heavenly planet, who on the earth would not agree to serve a demigoddess such as you?" It appears from the word of Urvashi that standard of eating, living eating, behavior and speech are all different on heavenly planets. Prabhupada says here, there's a difference between two. Heavenly planet has standard of living different, eating different, behavior different, speech different. The inhabitants of heavenly planets do not eat such abominable things as meat and eggs. Everything they eat is prepared in clarified butter. Nor do they like to see either men or women naked. Prabhupada is giving a purport according to the degradation of the modern society. except to live naked or almost naked is uncivilized, but on this planet Earth it has now become fashionable to dress half naked, and sometimes those like hippies live completely naked and they think they are beautiful. If nakedness is a beauty, then the dogs and cats, they should look beautiful. They are not wearing anything. So this is degradation. Such conduct is not allowed. However, on the heavenly planet, nobody can be there naked. The inhabitant of the heavenly planet, aside from being very beautiful, both in complexion and bodily feature, are well behaved and long living. And they eat first-class food and goodness. These are some of the distinctions between the inhabitant of heavenly planet and inhabitant of the earth. So Srila Prabhupada's this purport is simply difference between higher planetary system living there and here. Sukhdev Goswami continued, O best of the human beings, Purarva. Sukhdev is telling now to Parikshit, O best of the human beings, Purarva, means Purarva was the best of the human beings because he got a celestial girl as a wife on this planet. It's not an ordinary thing. It's not possible for anybody to do like that, to get like that. Begun freely enjoying the company of Urvasi, who engaged in their love affairs with many, many celestial places. It means they were having honeymoon, it looks such as Chitrarath and Nandan Kanan, where the demigod enjoy. So they went to all these places. They enjoyed there. Well, same thing you have heard in Kardambuni and Devuti enjoyed all these places. But they have the son, Kapil, Supreme Lord. So their enjoyment is not like the enjoyment of mundane men. Kardam was ordered by the Supreme Lord that you increase the progeny. So it appears to us, because our mind is corrupt and contaminated, we cannot relate to their enjoyment. Okay, next verse 25. Urvasi's body was as fragrant as saffron of a lotus, being enlivened by the fragrance of her face and body. Purarva enjoyed her company for many, many days, with many, many days, doesn't say month or years. Therefore, he was longing for that. Many, many days. It says, many, many days. Aha gana. In Sanskrit, it says, aha gana. Aha means day. Only days, not months. What happened next? Now, Indra, heavenly king, he said, oh, there is a seat. Where is Urvasi? She is a beauty of our assembly. Where is she? Not seeing Urvasi in the assembly. Assembly, the king of the heaven, King Indra, said, without Urvasi, my assembly is no longer beautiful. Now you think how the character of Purarva is magnanimous. The Indra is seeing, without Urvasi, my kingdom is not beautiful. So how magnanimous is Purarva that Urvasi was living with him even for a few days. Therefore, first line says, character of Purarva is magnanimous and glorious, because he enjoyed the heavenly enjoyment on earthly planet. Enjoying heavenly facilities on earthly planet is not possible for everybody. Considering this, he requested Gandharva to bring her back to his heavenly planet. It means the curse of Mitra and Varuna is over and she has to go back. So what the Gandharvas are doing now? Thus the Gandharva came to earth, and at midnight, when everything was dark, they appeared in the house of Purarva and stole the two lamps entrusted to the king by his wife Urvasi. So they only stole the lamps. The dead of night refers to midnight. Mahanisha is described in the Simriti mantra, महानिशा द्वे घटिका रात्रे मध्यमा यामयो। 12 o'clock midnight is called the dead of the night, and modern day foolish it called the new day, new year, midnight, new year, dead of night they call new year, because they are completely blind. Night is for them day, and that is difference between the saintly person and the worldly person. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami. And nowadays everybody midnight enjoying. this is different. Okay, so what happens now? Now Urvasi understood. Urvasi treated the two lambs like her own sons. Therefore, when they were being taken away by the Gandharva and they began crying, Urvasi heard them and rebuked her husband. "Now I am being killed," she said, "under the protection of an unworthy husband. He cannot protect my children, who is coward. And eunuch, although he himself is a great hero, he cannot protect the two lambs. What is this?" And then she said further, "Because I depended on him," means Pururva, "the plunderers, who are not other than Gandharvas sent by the Indra, have deprived me of my two sons of lamb, and therefore I am now lost. My husband lies down at night in fear, exactly like a woman, although he appears to be a man during the day." So he's coward. So she is piercing the husband with the arrows of the words. Pururva is struck in by the sharp words of the Urvasi like an elephant is struck by its driver's pointed rod. Become very angry. Not even dressing himself properly, he took a sword in hand and went out naked in the night to follow the Gandharva, who had stolen the lamb. He's a Kshatri, he cannot tolerate the insulting words of a wife. So he just, in anger, started to chase the Gandharva, but at that time, Gandharva very smartly, after giving up the two lambs, they gave up the two lambs, but the Gandharva shone brightly like lightning. They had a flashlight, thus illuminating the house of Pururva. Urvasi then saw his husband returning with two lambs in hand, but he was naked, and therefore she left. So out of the three promises, two were broken, not ghee wala. There was no mention of ghee, but the two things are there. The lambs were not protected, and Gandharva has made this trick, and because of light, he was half naked or whatever, and Urvasi left. So it is always, if you really get a wife from a higher than your level, she can leave and you cannot stop. Now Pururva cannot stop. No longer seen Urvasi on his bed. Pururva was most aggrieved because of his great attraction for her. He was very much disturbed. Thus lamenting, he began travelling about the earth like a madman. So, what do you think? In heaven the people will be mad? All people in heaven will be mad because Urvasi is there. Don't go to the heaven therefore. Go to the Golok Vrindavan. Pururva is mad now, roaming around. Once during his travel all over the world, so it means Pururva has given up his kingdom for his wife. And she left. And he was looking for her in every nook and corner of the world. And he was traveling all over the world. Pururva saw Urvasi accompanied by five companions. And who are the five companions? We don't know. On the bank of Sarvasati at Kurukshetra. This is present Kurukshetra. There is a Sarvasati river was flowing there. With jubilation in his face, then he spoke to her in sweet word as follows. So she had five other companions. And no purpose is given to these verses. Who were they? Why she came there? Because there's a purpose. Ultimately, from Purva and Urvasi, there must be a line of the Kshatriya. So, 34. So why she made these three promises with the Pururva? In the two verses, the verse number 21 and 22 or something like that. 21, she had three promises. Two lamb, never naked, and ghee. Why she made these promises? What was the reason behind that? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, she makes him promise in two verses since she desired to return to Swarg by expanding the curse. Because curse will be over. So she has to go back. She will not stay here. Her promises were for, why she had the promises? Just as long as curse is there, so there must be some reason to go. So she made him promise in two verses. What are the two verses? 21 and 22. 20, 21, 22, on these 2-3 verses. Please protect these two sheep who I entrust you and who is praiseworthy, known as best. There is no fault. I am heavenly woman. Okay. I eat only ghee, and Chakravarti Thakur says Amrit. Ghee is Amrit. Amrit means nectar. So in the heaven there is a nectar. In Shruti says that devas live on nectar. In heaven there is only nectar. So what is called ghee, they say it is like nectar. All right, we can continue further. 34. Now Purva, when he met at Kurukshetra Urvasi again with five persons. Oh, my dear wife, oh, most cruel one. My dear wife and most cruel one. This type of talk is out of extreme attachment. Kindly stay. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. Aho jaya tishte tishte stay. Ghore na tyaktum maharasi. Ghore, Prabhupada said, ghore is cruel. Huh? Oh, most cruel one, ghore. Generally, ghore means fearful. Because you are leaving me, it is more than fearful. And what further he said? Oh, goddess. Now that you have refused me, my beautiful body will fall down here. It means I will die now. And because it is unsuitable for your pleasure, it will be eaten by the foxes and vultures. So this is the talk out of, because of the too much attachment. What Urvasi is saying, That is very important. It's another principle. Urvashi said, "My dear king, you are man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome your foxes. Overcome you like foxes." It means your senses are foxes, which are eating you. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. So Urvashi is giving actually enlightening speech, a spiritual insight. Rather, you should know that heart of woman is like that of a fox. Heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There's no use making friendship with woman. This is Urvashi is saying. Well, she's not the woman of this world. She is produced by Narayan, a very austere incarnation of Supreme Lord. She's living in a heavenly planet as a gift of a god. And these are her words. And Prabhupada quotes, Chankya Pandit advises, Vishwaso naiva kartavya strisho raja kulesu cha. Vishwaso means trust. Never trust. Istrishu Raj Kuleshu, king, politician, woman. Never place your faith in a woman or politician unless elevated to spiritual consciousness. Prabhupada immediately writes, it's not that the woman in Krishna consciousness are ordinary woman. Prabhupada said they are beyond bodily consciousness. Therefore, immediately, unless elevated to spiritual consciousness, every man is conditioned and fallen. What to speak of women, who are less intelligent than men? Women have been compared to the Shudra and Vaishya. This is the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Istriyo Vaishyas tatha Shudras tepi yanti param gatim. On the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is man or woman, Shudra or whatever, everyone is equal. Otherwise, Urvashi, who was a woman herself and who knew the nature of woman, said that a woman's heart is like that of a sly fox. If man cannot control his senses, he becomes a victim of such sly foxes. But if one can control his senses, there's no chance of his being victimized by a sly fox-like woman. Chankya Pandit has also advised that if one has a wife like sly fox, he must immediately give up his life at home and go to the forest. So this is the good principle. This is here verse by Chankya Pandit. Mata yasya grehe nasti, one who has no mother at home. Bharya cha priya vadani, but the wife is very harsh speaking. Aranya tena gantavyam, he should go to the forest. Yatharanyam tathagram, for him forest and home are same. So Krishna conscious grihastha must be very careful. And Prabhupada is advising. Krishna conscious grihastha, this is the principle for us. Krishna conscious grihastha must be very careful of the sly fox woman. If the wife at home is obedient and follow her husband in Krishna consciousness, the home is welcome. Otherwise, one should give up one's home and go to the forest. And then the verse from 7th canto. Hetvatma patam grahandhakupam vanam gato yad harim ashriyet. Otherwise, the home is like a blind well. Andhakupam. Go to the forest. Take shelter of Lord Hari. Now Urvashi is saying something more. Women as a class are merciless and cunning. Kya? Urvashi was sent by the Indra to tell these things here. Istriyo hi akkarunaha. Akkaruna. Sanskrit word is akkaruna. Karuna means mercy. Akkaruna means merciless. Actually, they are very soft-hearted. But in this case, Akaruna and Kurura. Number two is Kurura, cunning. Kurur. Kurura means, and what they can do, to how far they can go? Durmarshaha priya sahasaha ghananti alapartepi vishramadam patim bratramapi. Very, very heavy statement of the Urvasi. If we find her, we will fight with her. But we cannot find Urvasi. How can she say like this and go away? What she is saying, women as a class are merciless and cunning. They cannot tolerate even a slight offense. For their own pleasure, they can do anything irreligious. And therefore, they do not fear killing even the faithful husband or a brother. King Purva was greatly attracted to Urvasi. Yet, despite his faithfulness to her, she had left him. Now, considering that king was wasting his rarely achieved human form of life, Urvasi frankly explained the nature of a woman. So she was giving him a sort of advice to renounce and use the human life for self-realization. Because of our nature, woman can respond even to an even slight offense with a husband by not only leaving him but even killing him if required. To say nothing of her husband, even she can even kill her brother. That is woman's nature. Therefore, in the material world, unless women are trained to be chaste and faithful to their husband, there cannot be peace and prosperity in the society. You know, in a first canto, when Bhisham Dev was giving description of the Varna Ashram and the nature of woman, then the one word is there, the safety. Woman can control all men. She has a one safety wall. If that is loose, then everything will be destroyed. And what is that wall? Anybody remember there? First canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhisham Dev is speaking.
Shyness.
Well, this is sort of, especially human. Woman should be shy. One says shyness. Yes, shyness. Something. There is a little more refined word. Chastity and shyness. Faith, chastity and shyness. If they become loose, then that everything is gone. That Prabhupada says they can control the greatest person. Now the next verse. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of men who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Urvasi is speaking. She is with five men now. And still Purva is attached to her. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends one after another. Prabhupada here gives the advice from Manu Sainta. The woman needs to be protected in three stages. And then Prabhupada always says, it doesn't mean that to make her slave. It's like children. Like children needs protection because they are very tender. So similarly, woman is very, very precious. She like a precious jewel you have to keep in a safe place. Similarly, woman needs always protected either by father or by husband or by elderly grown-up son. If the women are given freedom to mingle with men like equal, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of the woman, as personally described by Urvasi, is to be established false friendship with someone and then seek new male companion, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of sincere well-wisher. Well, this is very common now in a Western world. In all hippies, they were just changing. And also there are clubs where they change. This whole is going on in a crazy world. So, Urvashi is telling something here for awakening the consciousness of Pururva, but it's not changing his mind. My dear king, you will be able to enjoy with me as my husband at the end of every year. For one night only. In this way you will have other children one after another. Although Urvashi had already had adversely explained the nature of woman, Maharaj Pururva was very much attached to her. So when somebody is really too much attached, engrossed and infatuated by lust, then he cannot listen to the wise words. And therefore she wanted to give king some concession by agreeing to be his wife for one night at the end of each year. Now what happens? Understanding that Urvashi was pregnant, Pururva returned to his palace. At the end of the year, there at Kurukshetra, he began obtaining the association of Urvashi, who was then the mother of heroic son. So next year, when he met there, he got one son. So in this way, he got six sons. Having regained Urvashi at the end of the year, King Pururva was most jubilant. And he enjoyed her company in six for one. But then he was very sorry at the thought of separation from her. So Urvashi spoke to him as follows. So he got six sons together from the Urvashi. Urvashi said, "You are, because 1 year too much for you, if you want me." Then Urvashi said, "My dear king, seek shelter of Gandharva, for they will be able to deliver me to you again." In accordance with these words, king satisfied Gandharva by prayers, and Gandharva, being pleased with him, gave him Agnistali girl, who looked exactly like Urvashi. Thinking that the girl was Urvashi, king began walking with her in the forest. But later he could understand that she was not Urvashi but Agnistali. Oh, there's this little purport here. I think there's some purport. Verse number 43, 4. What Chakravarti Pat writes, that what Gandharva gave him was sacrificial vessel. Gandharva gave Pururva sacrificial vessel so that he would attain Urvashi by performing fire sacrifice. But because of complete infatuation with Urvashi, blinded by love, he thought the vessel was Urvashi. It was vessel. It means some part. Wandering in the forest with that vessel, when it came to the time for sex, he understood that it was not her. While he meditated intensely on Urvashi all night, Treta Yuga began. Next verse. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, he understood that she is not Urvashi. So King Pururva then left Agnistali in the forest, that vessel for sacrifice, returned home, where he meditated all night upon Urvashi. In the course of his meditation, the Treta Millennium began, means before this was Satya Yuga. So that was over. Now the Karmakanda Yajna start. And therefore, principle of three Vedas, including the process of performing Yajna to fulfill fruited activities, appeared within his heart. So Karmakanda idea came in his heart. Actually, they gave him vessel for sacrifice. So Srila Prabhupada writes, it is said, Tretayam yajato makhai. Makhai means Vedic sacrifice. A yajna is a Puranic sacrifice. Makha and yajna, both are same thing. In Treta Yuga, if one performed yajna, he would get the result of his yajna. By performing Vishnu yajna specifically, one could even achieve the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, yajna is intended to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While Prarava was meditating upon Urvasi, the Trita Yuga began. And therefore, Vedic yajna were revealed in his heart. But Prabhupada was a materialistic man, especially interested in enjoying these senses. Yajna for enjoying these senses is called Karma Kandya Yajna. Therefore, he decided to perform Karma Kandya Yajna to fulfill his lusty desires. In other words, Karma Kandya Yajnas are meant for sensuous persons, whereas Yajna should actually be performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan Yajna is recommended. Yajnai Sankirtan Praya Yajanti Sumedasa. Only those who are very intelligent take to the Sankirtan Yajna to fulfill their desires, material and spiritual, whereas those who are lusty for sense enjoyment perform Karma Kandya Yajna. So here we can also say some principle that people who are sensual will perform Karma Kandya Yajna. Persons who are spiritually inclined do Sankirtan Yajna. So Urvasa, because of Urvasi's attachment, Purvarava preferred Karma Kandya Yajna. Now what happened? When the process of fruitive Yajna became manifest within his heart, King Purva went to the same spot where he left that Agni Stali. You know, Agni means fire. Stali means where, at the place where you can ignite fire. It means vessel in which you can have a fire. Where he has left Agni Stali, there he saw that from the womb of Sammi tree, an Ashwas tree had grown. He then took a piece of wood from that tree and made it into two aranis. Aranis are the two pieces of the wood. They are used to rub on one another to ignite the fire. Arani. Desiring to go to the planet where Urvasi resided, which means heavenly planet, he chanted mantra, meditating upon the lower Arani as a Urvasi, an upper one as himself, and the piece of the wood between them as his son, which is fire. In this way, he began to ignite a fire. Now, Prabhupada is giving us the Vedic yajna performed, how the fire is ignited. The fire for performing yajna was not ignited with ordinary matches or similar devices. Rather, the Vedic sacrificial fire was ignited by Arani. What is Arani? There are two pieces of wood. The two sacred pieces of wood, sacred pieces, were from the Sami tree, which produce fire by friction with the third, with a third. Such a fire is necessary for performance of yajna. If successful, yajna will fulfill the desire of its performer. Thus, Purva took the advantage of the process of yajna to fulfill his lusty desire. He thought of the lower Arani as Urvasi and upper one himself, and the middle one as his son. A relevant Vedic mantra quoted herein by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is Sami Garbhad Agnim Mantha. Sami is a tree. Garbha is a womb. Agni is a fire. Mantha means he was churning. A similar mantra is Urvasyam Urvasihi Purva. Purva wanted to have children continuously by the womb of Urvasi. His only ambition was to have sex life with Urvasi and thereby get a son. In other words, he had so much lust in his heart that even while performing yajna, he thought of Urvasi instead of thinking of master of the yajna, Yajneshwar, Lord Vishnu. So from Purva's rubbing of the aranis came a fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in seminal birth. Purified in seminal birth means purified in seminal birth, initiation. Seminal birth is purified when somebody gets initiation. And in the performance of yajna, then he can perform the yajna. which is invoked with the combined letters Om. This fire was considered the son of King Purarva. Purport. According to Vedic process, one can get a son through semen, which is Sukar birth. One can get a bona fide disciple through initiation. Or one can get a son or disciple through the fire sacrifice. So three ways to get son. Normal son from the mother and father. A spiritual master get a son by initiation. And Vedic way of getting a son from the fire sacrifice. Thus when Maharaj Purva generated the fire by rubbing the arnis, the fire become his son. Either by semen or by initiation or by yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra Omkar or Pranava, consisting of the letter A, U, O, Ma, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the word Niramanthanaja Jataha indicates that by rubbing of the arnis, a son was born, which means fire was ignited. By means of that fire, Purva, who desired to go to the planet where Urvasi resided, performed a sacrifice, by which he satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, the enjoyer of the result of sacrifice. Thus he worshipped the Lord, who is beyond the perception of the senses, and is the reservoir of all demigods. So in a yajna, he satisfied the Supreme Lord Hari, and he worshipped him. So as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, so God is the, Krishna is the enjoyer of all the yajna, and he is the master of all the planets. Okay. Any planet one want to go, the property of the Supreme Personality of God, the enjoyer of the performance of yajna. The purpose of the yajna is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. In this age, as we have explained many times, yajna of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the only sacrifice that can satisfy the Supreme Lord. When the Lord is satisfied, one can fulfill any desire, material or spiritual. Bhagavad Gita says, also, yajnat bhavati prajanyaha. Yajnat bhavati prajanyaha. Anybody can memorize this verse? Anad bhavati bhutani prajanyad anna sambhava. Prabhupada was asked once a question in Australia, what is the use of Bhagavad Gita which was spoken 5,000 years back? Prabhupada quoted this verse. He said, still now you need the food grains to eat and they are only produced when there is a rain. So Krishna says rain comes only by performance of yajna. So when Prabhupada was in Andhra Pradesh and there was a drought and devotees were doing Sankirtan yajna and there was a rain. Prabhupada, this is a yajna, only useful.
In Hyderabad.
Yeah, Hyderabad. Right, so yes. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, yajnat bhavati prajanyat, this is the verse. By the offering sacrifice Lord Vishnu, one can have sufficient rainfall. When there is a sufficient rainfall, the earth becomes fit to produce everything. Sarva kam dugha mahi. This you have done this. Where this your fourth canto? Sarva kam dugha mahi. Mahi means earth. Sarva means all. Kam means desire. Dugha means when you get milk from the cow, you can get all your desire fulfilled from the earth. If one can utilize the land properly and one can get all the necessity of life from the land, including food, grain, fruit, flowers and vegetables, everything one get for material wealth is produced from the earth, and therefore it is said, Sarva kama dugha mahi. 110.4. This is 110.4. 110.4. At the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira, how the earth was producing everything.
Hare Krishna Bhaji.
Yes.
Can I ask you?
Let us finish this purport. Everything is possible by performing yajna. Therefore, although Purva desires something material, he factually performs yajna to please Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is adhokshaja, beyond the perception of the Purva and everyone else. Consequently, some kind of yajna must be performed to fulfill desire of living entity. Yajna can be performed in human society only. When society is divided into varna ashram, into four varna ashram, without such a regulative process, no one can perform yajna, and without the performance of yajna, no material plans can make human society happy at any time. Everyone should therefore be induced to perform yajna. In this age of Kali, the yajna recommended is Sankirtan, the individual or collective chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This will bring the fulfillment of all necessities for human society. Yes, Prabhu, what is your question? So, and this purport is actually Prabhupada's mission, I would say mood, that we should perform definitely yajna, but that yajna will satisfy the Supreme Lord and we will get all the necessities. Therefore, one ashram should be instituted. So this is a mood of Prabhupada. Yeah, what is the question, Prabhu?
Just like in the Kali Yuga, only yajna which is recommended is Sankirtan yajna. But we found also, just like when we have initiation ceremony, we have yajnas. And in the grassa life, we have seen in the devotees, they do yajna for Kumsavan, Shoshanti Homa. Some yajnas are prescribed for grassas also. So this actual fire sacrifice. So why we do that? I mean, it was done by Prabhupada also, initiation ceremony. Prabhupada would do the fire sacrifice. So if just Mahamantra is sufficient, what is the reason behind this?
When Srila Prabhupada was doing the inauguration of Krishna Balaram temple, he actually got the Goswamis and some qualified priests to perform the yajna. But he simultaneously told his disciple to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan. And then he said, this is only the yajna of Kirtan. We are doing this yajna because people should accept us that we are doing something according to the Vedic principle. Because to be acceptable in the public that we have done a bona fide opening ceremony or prana pratishtha of the deities, so we are doing this. But actually this Hare Krishna mantra is more than sufficient. But still, like Prabhupada, like deity worship is for the Dwapar Yuga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked these Goswamis to establish the deities. And Srila Prabhupada says in ISKCON, the deity worship has two purposes. One is punctuality, other is purity. For the purity and punctuality, it's not that we can really perform the deity worship according to the higher standards, but for these two things, punctuality and purity. Similarly, all those yajna which are for karma kand, they are also Vaishnava way of doing those, Krishnaize those yajnas. So Vaishnava also have their yajnas. They perform the yajna. Still we do Narsingha yajna and other yajnas. So these yajnas, the Sankirtan yajna is sufficient in one sense. But still for the Prabhupada's words, to be acceptable in this society, we have to continue some parampara system which is in the Vedic system. But in Western world, Prabhupada just did Sankirtan, that is enough. And sometimes Prabhupada has normally spoon from the kitchen as he was doing yajna in early days, you see in a Western world, there's no problem. There's nothing like wooden spoon or all these things, no. Just chant Hare Krishna and Guru Mantra and that's all. Mahamantra, Patita Pavan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's more than enough. But still we perform all this because some rituals which are there, all sanskars, they have some yajna recommended in Vedas. And there is, Sanatana Goswami Pada has given in Hari Bhakti Vilas some procedure for us to perform. So we are performing as much as we can do. So I think we have a few more. Yes, Prabhu. Yes?
If yajna is not the process, then Acharya has given, just like Gopal Bhatt Goswami has given this process. Even Prabhupada had done it in New York 1966 in the first initiation ceremony. Where there were no Brahmana, there was no acknowledgement of the Vedic rituals. in the Western culture that time. So it was just bewildering to me. I mean, if there's no authorized process of this yoga in the Kali Yuga, so why still the acharyas are like Gopal Bhatt was prescribing in the scriptures, like Satkriya, Sardipika?
That's what I'm saying, because to be accepted in a learner is like Prabhupada. Why should, when Prabhupada went to the Kumbh Mela twice, what is the need? He said that we are not here to take bath and get immortal. Because the saintly person here are recognized that they are the saintly person. So for us to be recognized for preaching purpose, we have to go to these places. Our purpose is not taking bath. Our purpose is to be recognized in a sadhu samaj, in a saintly people, that this is also a saintly group, a bona fide parampara, where the all sampradayas are coming. We have to be there. So we have to do something by which we can be accepted into the sampradayas, as a Vaishnava sampradayas. So therefore, why? What is the need? Only Hare Krishna mantra is enough. Then why our Acharya has written the Vedanta Sutra? Because there was need to establish the sampradaya. So acharyas always recommend something to make it bona fide, to appear bona fide at least among the other sampradayas. Yeah, this is like once in a Kumbh Mela for deity worship, she was trying to ignite the aarti. So much wind, so it was not possible at all. Jamuna was doing that. Prabhupada is saying, well, in Kali Yuga there is no deity worship, what can we do? It's a Kali Yuga, it's not possible. So he sometimes remarked that all these things are not for this yuga, but we are doing it to be accepted in a Vedic system, that we are follower of the Vedic system. And Gopal Bhatt Goswami actually came from Ramanand Sampradaya, from Sri Rangam, and he was knowing really all details of the worship. So he has given all these details which were coming in the paramparas. Okay, Asin, let us finish this. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantra were included in one mantra, Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantra. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge, Atharva Veda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, was the only worshipable deity. There was one recommendation for worship. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only. And the only order of the life in human society was only one order, was Hans Varna. So Srila Prabhupada writes, in Satya Yuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before beginning of Kali Yuga, this one Veda, the Atharva Veda, or some say Yajur Veda, was divided into four, Sam, Yajur, Rik and Atharva, for facility of the human society. In Satya Yuga, only mantra was Omkar, Om Tat Sat. The same name Omkar is manifested in the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Unless one is Brahman, one cannot utter Omkar and get the desired result. But in Kali Yuga, almost everyone is Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the pranava Omkar. Therefore, Shastra have recommended the chanting of Hare Krishna. So there is an Omkar in this, but anybody can chant. But Omkar only Brahman can chant. Omkar is the mantra or Mahamantra. Hare Krishna is also Mahamantra. Both are Mahamantra. The purpose of the pronouncing Omkar is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is the same. Hare O energy of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord Krishna. Hare O energy of Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Enjoyer. The only worshipful Lord is Hari, who is the goal of Vedas. Veda isha sarver aham eva vedya. By worshipping demigod, one worship the different parts of the Lord, just as one might water the branches of the twigs of a tree. But worshipping Narayan, the all-inclusive Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like pouring water on the root of the tree, thus supplying water to the trunk, branches, twigs, leaves and so on. In Satya Yuga, people knew how to fulfill the necessity of life simply by worshipping Narayan. the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same purpose can be served in this age of Kali by chanting Hare Krishna. Recommended Bhagavatam Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambarjet. Simply chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one becomes free from bondage of material existence and thus become eligible to return home back to Godhead. I think last verse. O Maharaj Parikshit, at the beginning of Treta, King Purva inaugurated the Kam Karma Kand sacrifice. Thus Purva also, who considered the Yajna fire his son, was able to go to the Gandharva Lok as he desired. So in Satya Yuga, Lord Narayan was worshipped by meditation. Kirte Yadhyayato Vishnu. Indeed, everyone is always meditating upon Vishnu. Narayan achieved every success by this process of meditation. In the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, performance of Yajna begun. Tretayam Yajato Makkai. And therefore this verse says, Trai Tretaha Makke. Ritualistic ceremonies are generally called fruitive activities. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that in Treta, beginning in the Swayambhava Manvantar, ritualistic fruit activities were similarly manifested from Priyavart, etc. So here our, this chapter is ending. I'll see if there is something from the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. At the beginning of Treta Yuga, in Swayambhu Manvantar, this Manvantar, or in the Swayambhu, first month Manvantar, path of karma was started by Purarva. Starting, it would be understood that path of karma was introduced at the beginning of each Treta by different kings, such as Priyavart in the cycle of four Yuga. Sometime Priyavart, and sometime Purarva. So this is the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's last comment. So, the fire was purified by the knowledge of the three Vedas and was brought as a son for the king, since it allowed him to go to the Swarg. Trivirta means the fire in three forms: Ahavanya, Grahapatya, Daksha Agnya. So this is commentary by Chakravarti Pad. The question is asked, did the method of karma mentioned in the three Vedas not exist previously? Yes. It was not revealed previously. The verse explained the situation. Previously in Satya Yuga, Om was the seed for all verses. There was one Veda. The Narayan was the only deity. There was one fire, not three. There was one varna called Hansa. Since generally everyone was predominantly in Satoguna, engaged in meditation. At the beginning of Treta Yuga, in Swayambhu Manu's Manvantara, the path of karma was started by Purarva. And in other Yuga, started by Priyavart sometime. So here ends our this chapter. Now, any question or comment? Tomorrow, if Krishna so desire, we will continue with the next chapter.
Hare Krishna Prabhu?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Well, he's talking about how in Satya Yuga the people are all Hamsas, they're in a world of goodness and meditating on Vishnu. But it seems that although Puru Rava was living during that time, but his activities seem to be very much in the mode of passion, and his meditation was not on Vishnu, but on sex enjoyment with Urvashi. So how do we understand that?
Very nice. Puru Rava was in a Satya Yuga, and he had a passion. And Urvashi came from the heavenly planet, and he enjoyed with her, and he wanted to be with her, and he wanted to go to the planet where Urvashi is. And by that time, the Satya Yuga ended, and Treta Yuga began. It means this is the last part of the Satya Yuga when Purarva was there, and then Treta Yuga started. So therefore, it is given a hint that Before when Satya Yuga, there was not such things, but when the Treta Yuga started, the things started. So like when the Yuga is at the end, the last portion of the Yuga, the some other symptom of the coming next coming Yuga are also manifesting there. It appears like that. But again, as I said in the beginning, all these people are actually exalted personalities. They are not ordinary people. What they are doing, there are some purpose behind this which we may not be able to understand, but they have some purpose behind that. And Purarva's attachment to the Urvasi, well, it appears like a material attachment, but ultimately he started the new Yuga, Treta Yuga's Karmakanda system. He started the first Yajna for the Treta Yuga. Like in the 5th chapter, Priyavarti started that. There also there is one king, he went by the Yajna to the heavenly planet, not back home, back to Godhead. So, so Yajna was not there in Satya Yuga. It means in Satya Yuga everybody was doing meditation. So he was meditating instead of on Supreme Lord, on the Urvasi. He was meditating on something but on Urvasi. Well, I can see Urvasi is not, Urvasi is produced from the body of the Supreme Lord Narayan. Actually, all this is, it has some purpose. And that purpose is so high that it's not possible for us to really grasp this. What is the purpose behind this? And when we, tomorrow we will hear the dynasty coming further down from these son of Purarva, Parasuram is appearing from the daughter of this. And further we will see Krishna Balarama appearing in this family. And very powerful king will appear in this family. All Pandavas appearing in this family. So there is some purpose in all these things which appears to us more like mundane things, but their life span was so long that they may enjoy half life. Because one ashram system is after 50 years, you should go for one person. So their 50 years is like 5,000 years. So their 5,000 years enjoyment is too much for us. We cannot really relate with that. But ultimately we'll see in few days Yayati. He was also interested. He wanted to be young. And he wanted to give his old age to his son. But then he just retired everything. So because this is the long time duration of these yuga is long, and their enjoyment is a different type. So it's not really, it's like Prabhupada once was saying, there was vultures, they were taking the man up. And then some disciples said, how can vulture take a man? He said, you are a child, you don't know what is there in a higher planetary system. The higher planetary system is a completely different order. So, the Treta Yuga, there's a transition of the cycle of the Yuga. So the things change, and therefore this is noted here. That this is this, the Yuga was changing, the things were happening, and Purarva was the inaugurator of the Treta Yuga and Karmakanda Yajna.
Could we say that the Purarva was like the Yuga avatar, the person who inaugurates the
Yuga avatar is actually Supreme Lord. He's not Supreme Lord. He's a son of Buddha. He's a son of Buddha and Illa. So he's not incarnation. But he is a very, like a powerful king of that time, emperor and beautiful, powerful king. He's a grandson of moon god. So he was not an ordinary person. It's like they are in a demigod category, more or less. Otherwise, how can he enjoy with the heavenly Urvasi? It's not ordinary.
Yeah. I had another question. Because Soma, we heard about in the 4th canto that Soma is a partial expansion of Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So then I just thought it was interesting that Soma is fighting with Brihaspati, and then Brahma himself comes and intervenes and tries to, mediate between them. But it's like Brahma comes and Soma is—he's dealing with Soma, but Soma is an expansion of himself. So
Yeah, his expansion, but it is a partial expansion. As Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, partial expansion of the Brahma. So Brahma is there and his expansion is also there. And so he chastised him because he is more like his source. And he and Soma obliged to the Brahma.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes. Tribhuvana. Yes, Tribhuvana Das.
It's starting to see you, Baba.
Hari Bol. Anyway, this.
Baba, I was just surprised about. Hello?
Yes. Yes, yes, Prabhu. Yes, Tribhuvan, no sound. Tribhuvan, no sound.
Really?
Now, yes.
The sound is there. Okay.
Yes.
The sound is there. Okay. I said, Brihas Pati knows that there was already something in Tara's womb.
Yes.
So why did he lay claim? You know, why was he laying claim that it becomes a different issue again between himself and Soma?
Why is claiming my son? because her wife was attached to the son, so he thought that let the son stay with us. Because he told in a previous verse, because you desire the son, so I will not burn you. So because it was wife's desire, so he wanted that son should stay with us. It appears only he respected her wife's desire.
I see.
And also because the son was very intelligent. Everybody wants an intelligent son.
You're right.
Anyway, all these things are really not ordinary things. We cannot comprehend them. It's like the medical store has so many medicines, and we only take medicine which suits to our disease. There are some poison which is useful for somebody else. Similarly, this ninth canto is like that. There are so many things even we cannot comprehend how all these things are there. You have done the solar dynasty. There are somebody he went for hunting and he ate something on the way, and then the spiritual master was upset. How can that be? But that is there.
Yeah.
yeah. There are certain things which we cannot understand really. But we have to study, huh?
In my mind. I say I have one more thought in my mind. Something we cannot comprehend. What is the use having going through it? What we cannot comprehend. What is the use trying to know it or trying to have a comprehension on it?
This is what is called the knowledge coming from the authorities has to be accepted, and then we can realize. First we accept, then we realize. First we realize, then we accept is a material knowledge. But a spiritual knowledge, first accept and then realize. So we will realize in due course of time. Otherwise, why Srila Prabhupada has written this purport and ninth canto if it was not useful for us? Because there is an incarnation in this which we have to understand before entering into the tenth canto. We have to purify ourselves. So this whole canto is just for purification. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And so what are the questions in this canto? Can somebody? I think there are 2-3 principles from the Purva and Urvasi we have to learn. And what other questions are here? You bring the question, tomorrow we'll discuss question and then continue the next chapter.
Alright, sir.
And also you turn your mind and get out some principle. Maybe it is your personal principle. It's not that there is some prototype that only that principle you should accept.
Okay.
We can see some principle of the yajna, the best yajna is this. From this whole we think that the best yajna is Sankirtan we should do. Why should we use Karmakanda yajna which Purva was doing? You just use your intelligence what fit to you. which is better one for some reason, you put 2, 3, 4, 5 in a line and then let us select few. Hare Krishna.
Jai Baba.
Radhe.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.